The healing power of nature is something many of us swear by personally, and more studies are demonstrating its benefits for our minds and bodies. So is it something that can be happening more often in mental health settings? Erica Vowles, who you've just heard from, has been looking into this. She's going to introduce us to a landscape gardener, a psychologist who's also a horticulturalist, and others who are exploring mindfulness practices and psychological therapy in gardens and in nature in general.
Hi, I'm Andrew Laidlaw, and I'm the landscape architect at the Royal Botanic Gardens, Melbourne. So we've just come in from a bigger part of the gardens where the sky's bigger and the landscape is much more open, and we've just entered the first part of the fern gully. We're now moving into a much narrower path and we've got a lot more plants. You almost have to sort of slightly stoop to get in here.
Andrew is showing me some of the garden's meditation and memorial spaces. He's been designing and growing spaces like these in recent years, not just to be beautiful, but to include therapeutic and mindfulness benefits.
And then we're in the lovely little grotto garden. And the grotto garden is, as you can hear it, the water's just coming out of the stones. But the grotto has a symbolic connection to Christian belief, but it goes back to where people would go into the wilds and they'd often have a vision of Christ, or they'd go there for a spiritual cleansing. So we've used a grotto here, but it's more about the intimacy. It's more about being able to come into this space, being surrounded by plants, and just sit here quietly and become absorbed into the environment.
Tell me about when you're creating a space like this, the kinds of details that you hone in on that you're hoping the person sitting here, the observer, what they're going to take away from this space and how that can end up being a therapeutic experience.
The idea is that they come through a threshold and then it slightly opens up and then they're completely wrapped and surrounded by plants. But it's very important that they feel safe. And quite often it's nice to have one, but sometimes two areas of being able to move in and out of these spaces. So the gesture of the space is to be loosely circular, but that it's wrapping around you in some ways. But the other thing that's really important is to make sure these gardens have got lots of love in them, and that's about having beautiful plant details that are looked after and cared for, and that these spaces are loved by the people that are in them, that look after them, and that brings a sort of a sense of well-being anyway.
Andrew shows me another of the meditation gardens, featuring water flowing up, out and over a stone.
I will find if I've had a difficult day, I will come to this garden because I find looking at that water is incredibly beautiful. And we've just got this water flowing over the rock, but I can just find that mesmerising, and that takes me into that sort of deep mindful place.
You've previously done some work with a psychologist and horticulturalist, Simon Lush. So it's interesting that psychologists are starting to look to nature for their work. Can you tell me about the garden that you helped Simon design at a psychology practice in Melton?
Sure. Well, he's done all of that really, but I probably just helped him try to define the spaces a little bit more. So to create these spaces where people could move into them, feel that sense of enclosure and being wrapped by plant material, and having a series of different spaces for people to move out of the inside space into these more nature-based spaces. And we also then looked at the car parking and just trying to create an atmosphere which is more a transition, I suppose, but where people come into a planted landscape, even if they drive into it, it says something about the care and the attention that they're going to get in that space, and it can really help them feel good about where they're going.
Hi, I'm Simon Lush. I'm a psychologist and a horticulturalist.
It's an interesting mix. Have you always been interested in both?
I have. Initially, I studied psychology, but the sort of threads of psychology and horticulture have sort of woven together. So I always bushwalked and kept productive gardens. So I sort of went to study at Burnley after finishing my degree, Burnley College, which has been a horticulture college, and it's been taken over recently by University of Melbourne, but then sort of came back to psychology and finished my study. And I've worked sort of in mindfulness type interventions with people for a long time. And just lately I've kind of started to focus back on gardens, back on sort of designing of gardens with a therapeutic benefit.
Noticing the birds in this area and a real feeling of light changing, clouds moving overhead, moving the light through the leaves of the trees.
Simon Lush leads a busy life, many of us do, but he tries to get out regularly into nature and just listen and be in the space.
And feeling different gusts of wind coming through, being quite calm.
Here's a bit of him doing that and sharing it with us.
Rise of different sounds and falling away. There's a feeling of things going on around me and I don't need to do anything, it's just happening around me. And feeling protected under this canopy of trees.
How do you actually build a garden that is soothing for the mind, that has a benefit psychologically?
There's emerging research, a lot of that kind of happening over in Scandinavia at the moment and other places as well. But kind of going back to this idea of the evolutionary connection between our kind of calming, restorative states and certain environments. And so there's an emphasis in a lot of these spaces that there's a certain element of wildness, there's a certain element of being kind of away in nature. There's legibility in that landscape as well. You know, there's a sense of protection, there's a sense of refuge.
In addition to designing the garden at Melton, Simon has also used the garden as the teaching space for a mindfulness course.
So we use that space to do some basic sort of exercises where we sort of tune the senses, folded in some horticulture practices and gardens into that mindfulness focus. There was some sketching, we used magnifying glasses, just kind of stoking that kind of curiosity to slow down in that environment. We also branched out into the Melton Botanic Gardens and did some exercises in that space as well.
How did everyone respond to this eight-week course? Did you have high hopes? Did you have low expectations? How did it go?
I was really surprised, you know, in terms of the horticulture in the garden. That was really prized. That was a really valuable experience, it seemed like. And everyone commented on that element. You know, that was really something that they intended to take with them, to have more time, you know, on the way to work, you know, walking through parks, spending time in the garden.
We started off small and that was a bit about just slowing down and just taking in all the smells and the sounds and everything like that.
A couple of years back, Jason Wells took part in the course run by Simon Lush.
Even if it was just to pick a square metre that you're in and really, you know, just take note of what's actually going on in the garden around you.
Jason spends quite a bit of time in nature, fishing, bushwalking, even bow hunting. But at the time of doing the course, he was dealing with depression and PTSD, and some of that was linked to his fairly stressful job. In fact, Jason was off work. He wanted to do more than just see doctors and counsellors. He says the course opened up new approaches to nature for him. He talked about one activity that they did at the Melton Botanical Gardens.
One of the things that Simon got us to do was sort of go on like an ultra slow walk through a little path and just really sort of taking your time and going as slow as possible, which, you know, in this day and age is something that we really don't do and is against the sort of programming a little bit. But yeah, I found that really good just to, you know, take a closer look and in detail of what's around us, you know, from the patterns on the leaves to, you know, flowers and then the sounds and the different layers of sounds where you've got, you know, the things that are closer and stuff like that, but then also then the noises coming through in the background and in the distance and that sort of thing. It has helped me just absorb more while I'm in nature. So I guess, you know, being out there and that sort of stuff was always something that did make me feel better, but I think I'm able to absorb a little bit more from that because just being more aware and appreciate just everything that's around me and going on. And maybe look at things a bit more positively as well, whether you might get caught out in the rain and that sort of stuff. And instead of, you know, being, oh, no, I'm stuck in the rain, I'm getting wet. Like, it's instead enjoy the moment of feeling the rain on your skin and, you know, the cool breeze, you know, and all that sort of stuff.
And now Jason is back at work.
Yeah, I've been a prison officer for just over 14 years now, working maximum security. So I've definitely, it could catch up with you. And I definitely think the mindfulness, it helped me, and especially the being out in nature and then applying that mindfulness there, it sort of helped calm me from the inside out, if that makes any sense. And I've been back to work for a while now, full time and that sort of thing. I've taken a step back from my role that I was in just to try ease back into things a little bit. But it's definitely, I think the mindfulness has helped me continue along and, you know, be a bit happier in life and just deal with stresses and, you know, anxiety and things like that when it comes up a little bit better than I was before.
So, hi, my name's Angelo Pagano. I'm a psychologist in Melton South, and I'm sitting in a garden that Simon Lush designed, who is also a psychologist and horticulturalist.
So, describe for me the garden. What's it like?
It's really beautiful. He's created a range of spaces within a front garden, which sits in front of an old Californian bungalow. It has three or four different spaces. So in one of the spaces, we've got he's designed a children's garden. In the other space, there's a small meeting space where staff and clients sit at different times, of course. There's another space he's created, which is like an orchard with some raised beds, some vegetable and herb beds.
And so when it comes to clients using the space, how does it tend to happen? Do you have clients that decide that they want to sit outside for their consultation rather than in a consulting room?
Some clients will talk about the garden setting. If they want to, they're enabled to use the spaces in the garden. Sometimes children are using the garden with their psychologist. It seems to happen fairly organically.
What impact does having a client being outside in nature have on the way the consultation will go, and how does it change the consultation?
I think for the client who likes a garden space or likes to be in nature, it's a really good way to reduce anxiety. I've had clients who've, you know, experienced significant trauma who find that they're able to feel calmer and are able to use the garden as a way of settling themselves down. So I think it's a great alternative to using an internal space. So some people who are somewhat claustrophobic or anxious in small spaces find the garden a really helpful alternative.
But Angela, I guess it's not going to work for everyone. I imagine some people might feel that others could potentially overhear their consultation. Is it fair to say that there are going to be some people who are going to be like, no, four walls for me, thank you?
Precisely. It's another option. I think we treat the garden as a tenth room. So the primary work we do is within the four walls.
When you set it up, I guess, in that kind of conducive space of a natural environment, it really just kind of gives it that extra impetus for people to really kind of have a deep experience of that, really feel it. When someone's diagnosed with depression or anxiety, they're coming from, you know, a fairly exhausted starting position. So a little bit of help goes a long way. So I think it's a really promising area, and yeah, I think that there'll be more of it as the evidence emerges.
Recently, Simon Lush moved north with his family to the Sunshine Coast in Queensland. He's adjusting to the new ecosystem.
I feel kind of like I'm in Mars a lot of the time. There are similarities to Victoria in some ways, but I miss the grasslands of Victoria. It's a very conducive environment up here, and things grow so quickly, and that sort of sense of forest is all around, which is a very conducive space for a lot of these kind of activities and mindfulness. So my idea is to purchase some land I'm looking at the moment, and obviously have that as my own refuge, but to have these similar individual and group activities that are facilitated in that space. So that's the dream at this point.
But we can all just have a crack at gaining the benefits of nature. I'm back at the Botanical Gardens in Melbourne. Andrew Laidlaw and I are going to try a mindfulness exercise. It involves closing our eyes, tuning into our senses, and really pushing our feet into the ground to feel the earth and becoming aware of gravity coursing through our bodies. And now look around you and notice what you can see and hear, and notice where you are and what you're doing. So how are you feeling?
It's good. I really enjoyed that. I mean, we're standing at the base of this beautiful ficus, so I think I connected to the earth. And it, you know, it's amazing to be mindful that the earth is a living thing. The soil, the earth, that tree. The interesting to put your feel a bit of pressure in your legs, because that draws your mind into your legs a little bit, which I then think draws it and transfers it down into the earth. So no, that was good. It was very mindful.
And the rain is coming down now.
The rain is coming down.
Normally I'd be a bit irked, but I actually feel pretty. It actually kind of feels pretty nice. Thanks, Andrew.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks, Erica.
The psychological therapy, the power of being in a vegetated world. That was Andrew Laidlaw finishing that report there from Erica Vowles, a beautiful piece. And hopefully it gave your Friday morning a nice sense of focus and at the same time tranquility. You can find out more information about all of the guests in that story from Erica by heading to the Life Matters homepage.